honor the reading of God's word. We've got a few things we like to say about ourselves as we begin. So would you say these things with me? We are the assembly of Jesus, built of a diverse group of people to continue the work of Jesus in our neighborhoods, community, and the world. Our heart is to worship God with our lives, to assemble as a faith and a community of Jesus followers, and to share the good news as we go. Here's our key text this morning. It's from Ephesians 2:10, and I'm going to read it from the Passion Paraphrase. Let's read it together. It says, "We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny that he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the anointed one. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it." Amen. Let's pray this aloud together. Give us faith to receive your word and understanding to know what it means and the will to put it into practice. So Lord, I receive it as a beloved child of God with ears to hear and eyes to see what my Father will show me. Father God, we thank you for your word that is living and alive and breathing this morning. We ask that it would speak to us directly, a rhema word this morning, a word that is right now for everyone that's in this room today. In your mighty name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated. I just wanna say, thank you to Lee Therrier over here this morning for an incredible evening. For those of you guys that were there, wouldn't you say that was just, there was a men's gathering last night, a worship and prayer event, and I think, you know, what you helped demonstrate for us, Lee, is the way the church is to function. You know, I was there as the pastor. I got to be and sit in on it. And I got to watch God use so many people, the church, speak into each other's lives and pray over each other and share what God had been speaking to them and use their giftings and abilities in a beautiful way that just displays for me, I think, what the church was designed to be. I don't know if I can say this out loud, but I think in our American culture, and maybe even in a worldwide culture, the church has elevated the pastor to a position where it really shouldn't be. And the church and the function of the giftings and abilities is so much meant to be a family, a group of us working together. The church, alive and active and breathing, it's a gathering of Jesus followers, all being actively pursuing the gifts and abilities through our personalities and experiences that he's given to us as a result of, as we started off this morning, knowing who we are because we know who he is. And so we're leaning into that. I like to use that language, right? We're leaning into that as we lean into prayer and fasting this month. So is there a verse, somebody find it for me, that says, today we shall drink and party for tomorrow we fast. I don't know if there is, but I got an extra tall coffee this morning I'm preparing. But no, that's really the wrong way to look at it. The way to look at it is I get to lean into my Father for the next 21 days. And so many times, you know, we talk about, the act of fasting, and it's this hard thing that we kind of have to take on. We have to strip ourselves of things that we want so we can get it's not about that. It's about leaning into the voice of the Father and hearing his voice and him speaking to us and going deeper with that relationship. So we're kicking off a brand new series today called Gifted. This is one of those series that has probably been in the philosophy of my ministry from, my youngest days. I think there was a book that shaped me the name of the book was Congratulations, You're Gifted, by Doug Fields, who is the youth pastor at Saddleback Church, Rick Warren is the lead pastor. And Rick Warren had written the book, somebody help me out, Purpose-Driven Life. And as part of their church culture, they use this tool, which I've used with students for a couple decades. And I've watched over and over again students come alive as they step into who God created them to be. Again, we can make our own plans, and that's one thing, and sometimes they turn out. But there's so much more when we step into His. Living life to the full, better than we can think of or imagine. That's what I want us to lean into. And so the whole heart of this series is God created you on purpose, with purpose, and for purpose. And He placed spiritual gifts inside of you that really matter for your life and your purpose and in the kingdom of God. Both. And so today is an identity message, and it seems like every year we come back to this, and I think it's because it's foundational. It's who we are. It's a grounding message. Before you do anything else, let's talk about who you are in Jesus, because that's the launching pad for everything. So, because if we don't start here, where we start with is pressure. If we don't start here, it starts with insecurity about who I'm not. If we don't start here, what we end up doing is we end up playing the comparison game with the church down the street, right? And that's not what it's about. It's believing lies about who we think we aren't, right? But Scripture refuses to start with any of that. So if you're taking notes, just on the header of your notes. By the way, before we start, here's the ground rules for today. There's an attachment on their bulletin on your notes this morning. You are not allowed to go to page 2 this morning, okay? If you see somebody going to page 2 right now, you just give them a scowl. You're not allowed to do that. That's homework you're going to take home with you, okay? So this is one of the things that we do in youth ministry, right? We don't hand out the thing that we give in the message time because we don't want kids playing with it while we're speaking. And so that's the ground rules for today. Don't go to page 2. I'm sending that home with you, okay? Everybody got that? Okay, everybody give your neighbor a scowl just to practice. On the header, if you're filling in the blanks with me this morning, identity before activity. Identity before activity. You are God's masterpiece. Can I just say that again? You are God's masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things that He planned for us long ago. So not we are God's last minute project, not we're God's clearance rack purchase, you know, and not we're God's duct tape together experiment. You don't need to raise your hand, but any of you feel like that before? Yeah. So we're masterpiece, handcrafted, chosen, designed, formed with intention and artistry and beauty and purpose. God didn't mass produce us. You ever notice that? He didn't mass produce you on a heavenly assembly line. He didn't print you off a spiritual 3D printer. He formed you with His hands, spoke purpose into your spirit, and He declared, "This one is mine, and I have plans. I have plans." So I knew I was called to ministry when I was pretty young. I was actually sitting in church one Sunday when a guest speaker came through. And at one point in his message, this was after, as I referred to earlier, I was kind of alighted to who I was in Jesus. And so I was pursuing Him at this point. And this guest speaker, at one point in his message, he stopped and he called out a number. And it was one of those guys who was just, you know, we were watching him the whole weekend, and the words, the prophetic words that he was handing out to people, you could tell they were like real and alive and like really ministering to the ones that he was given. He called out this number, and you can think whatever you want about it. I don't know if this was prophetic insight or guest speaker trickery, but I just know, I know this. As he continued to speaking, his words were incredibly accurate for people across the room in the space, and our leadership was kind of overseeing that. And when he said, "Do these numbers mean anything to anyone?" my mom and dad raised their hands, and I knew what the numbers meant immediately too. It was back in the day when we used to have phone numbers memorized. And the speaker, he looked right at me, not at them. He looked right at me after they had raised their hands, and he began speaking pastoral ministry over my life. Something in me resonated deeply, and I don't understand all of it, but that was, you ever had, that phrase, "God knows your number"? Well, he called out our phone number that morning, and I didn't understand all of it, but I knew this feels like God. And from that moment on, I leaned towards ministry. And right after high school, I went to Bible college. I was convinced that I was gonna step right into a lead pastor role. And I thought, this is the path and this is how it works. And that's what we do. We think we're pretty good planners. But about 2 years into that program, God spoke to me very clearly, not audibly, but undeniably, through a message from a speaker who ended up becoming a huge mentor in my life. God redirected my heart once again, and what I thought was a call to lead pastor ministry was actually first a call to student ministry. And I called it a Godsmack moment, where it felt like, that's what it felt like. And I leaned into that hard. And I spent the next 2 decades of my life serving students, and some of my most meaningful memories and relationships and ministry moments have come from those years. Eventually, in 2018, that calling did lead into becoming a lead pastor. I got a call from pastors Tana and Brent, and they said, "We know that this isn't the way that Foursquare works, but we choose you." And they said, "We're gonna talk to Sam." He was the district supervisor at the time, and we're gonna see how this all works. But here's what I realized looking back. All along the way, God was shaping me. Not just spiritually, but creatively, music, graphics design, my love for technology, creative writing, storytelling, all of the things that make me me, none of it was random. All of it was preparation. And God's design for my life and yours wasn't accidental. And none of it was wasted time, none of it. Every season, and every gift, and every passion, he was forming something in me on purpose. And over again, through the years, he's continued to confirm that. Here's the second thing I want you to write down if you're taking notes this morning. God custom designed you for kingdom impact. Custom made. The Greek word here for masterpiece is poema, which is where we get the word poem, right? Meaning your life is meant to say something about Jesus. You are a living and breathing poem written by God to reveal his grace and his power and his love. So now here's the part that many of us miss. God designed you before he assigned you, which means the way you think, your personality, your passions, your sense of humor. So some of you are looking at your spouse and saying, "I don't know about that." Your abilities, your story, every part of your story, they're not accidents. In many cases, I guess I would see them as tools. Yeah, I remember one night after doing an overnight concert ministry at a youth lock-in. Remember when you used to do the all-nighters at youth ministry all the time? That was like the thing that you would do. Some of you old schoolers remember that. It was late or early, depending on how you look at it. And, you know, it's the kind where nobody has slept and everybody smells like gym floors and bad decisions. I mean, that was kind of where it was. It was that part of the night. And as a young person, I was doing concerts and stuff, and I had just challenged the students after singing some songs to use their gifts and abilities to change the world, to let God use them to affect change in the world. And after the concert, it was so impactful to me. One student came up to me and he said, "That's all good and fine for you," because he just, you know, watched me kind of do my thing and the music and stuff, "but the only talent I have is playing cards." And so he was doing, you know, he was playing the comparison game, which is what a lot of us do. And I looked at him and I just felt in my spirit very confidently, I said, "Well, I bet if you ask God about it, he'll show you a way to use that gift." And he walked away with the biggest smile on his face. Now, but here's what was really happening in that moment. He was looking at me, the guy that, you know, the musician that, and then comparing his life to mine. And in that comparison, he decided that, "Well, I don't have anything to offer." But comparison, can I just say this? Comparison always lies. Looking back on my life, I had no idea that my interest in computers and graphic design would ever turn into ministry. I didn't think that would be the case. I just like messing with technology and I like creating things. But can I tell you something? I honestly don't know how to do ministry the way I do it without those gifts. I don't know how I'd pastor. I don't know how I'd communicate. I don't know how we'd do half the things that we do. That wasn't random. That was God crafting me. And then there's my personality. We were just talking about this. I'm naturally an introvert. You've heard me say this many times. Pastor Brett, when they were first in the hiring process, he did the personality test, and I was like way off the charts on the bottom left corner of like phlegmatic, introvert. And he said, "Are you sure you like people?" So I'm naturally more introverted, quiet, reserved. I'm, you know, now for a lot of people, if they were designing a lead pastor from scratch, that probably, I don't know, wouldn't be at the top of their list. But over and over again, God has used that side of me to step into conversations and situations where the loudest voices would never get access. And so doors open and trust builds and people share things that maybe they wouldn't share otherwise. And that's how God crafted me. I mean, that's just who I am. I hope that just helps someone see that if God can use that in Pastor Sean, you know, he can use what's in me. That the same principle is true for you. God custom designed you for kingdom impact. Now, here's the next truth I want you to write down that can be really loud, is the enemy attacks what God designs. We talked about this already, right? If God calls you his masterpiece, the enemy's strategy is simple: attack the masterpiece. Distort the image, deactivate the gift, right? Jesus himself tells us, John 10:10, I already quoted it earlier. The thief comes only to what? Steal, kill, destroy. That's what he does. And if he can steal your identity and kill your confidence and destroy your sense of calling, he can keep you walking in the life that Jesus intended for you, his plans and his purpose for you. What is the life that Jesus intends? He came so that you would have life and have it abundantly. But the enemy tries to keep that from happening. And how does he do that? We already talked about this too. Letter A, comparison. We say things like, I'm not like her. I'm not like him. If I can't do what he does, if I don't have the gifts that they have, right? Comparison doesn't just steal joy. It silences calling. B, insecurity. We talk ourselves out of what God has already spoken over us. C, wounds. Some of you, just matter-of-factly, have been hurt by the church. Or people in the church, right? You've been hurt by the church, family, mentors, leaders, pastors. And now you question your worth or your purpose. How about this? Lies. The enemy likes to lie. Lies that say you're not gifted. You're not needed. You messed up too much. You're too old. Or you're too young. You're too late. Not one of those lies is biblical. No one else, can I say this, has your combination of gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. Nobody. Custom made. Masterpiece. Called. Chosen. No one else can bring your offering to Jesus. No one else is responsible for that. So I've shared this a lot too. I was bullied pretty relentlessly when I was in middle school. I've shared it again several times, so I won't go too deep, but it was mostly one guy, a high schooler, and for whatever reason, he just didn't let up. And we went to the same small Christian school, which somehow, you know, made it even harder. You expect safety there. You expect protection. The school tried. You know, they did what they could, but the damage had kind of already been done. And the truth is, I've carried scars from that season well into my adulthood, and I've struggled with that. My whole life, I've struggled with self-doubt. And that's something that I keep continually bringing to God, and he keeps on healing me, and he's faithful in that, and he's, you know, faithful in restoring and redeeming what the enemy has tried to steal. But now pastors talk about this all the time, especially during seasons of transition. Transition can be hard, and it's even harder in the church because ministry is so relational. And people matter deeply. And so for me, when I stepped in to lead pastor ministry, I followed one of my favorite pastors of all time, you know? And that's when that old voice started coming back and getting louder again. It's like the voice of that bully, a voice that I now recognize was strategically placed in my life by the enemy. Keeps, you know, sneaking in uninvitedly, and suddenly I know every area where I don't measure up. You familiar with that? You ever experienced that? I can almost feel like the imaginary fingers pointing at me. So I can hear the inaudible laughter. And it's that familiar sense of being exposed and evaluated and found lacking. And every once in a while, I just have to stop and consciously decide whose voice I'm going to listen to. Because there are a lot of voices in my life, but only one of them tells the truth. And every time I choose to listen to Jesus, every time I bring those lies into his presence, he is faithful to rebuild what was broken. And he restores my self-worth, and he recenters my identity, and he reminds me of who I am, not who the bully said I was, not who fear says I am, not who insecurity says I am, but who he says I am. So here's the truth that I want us just to grab hold of today as we just kind of jump into this series. It's simple. This message this morning is very simple. But it can also be transformational. Once we know who we are, it changes how we act and live our lives. God Here's the thing. Number four, God didn't just save you from something. He saved you for something. Yeah. Ephesians 2:10 again. We read the last part. You're a masterpiece. Then what does it say? So we can do the things that he planned for us long ago. You were created by God and saved by Jesus and empowered by Holy Spirit and commissioned for kingdom activity. Not just the people that, you know, we, you know, consecrated as pastoral ministry. Everybody in the room. Commissioned. In other words, you are not a spectator. I said it last night as we were starting our worship time. This is a, what did I say? This is a contact sport. This is all in. This is, everybody's in this game. And so you bring something that no one else brings. And this is where, again, a lot of us get stuck because we will say or think things like, well, I don't know enough of the Bible. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not like that other gifted person. I don't even know what my gifts are. I can just play cards. Perfect. Because that sounds exactly like who Jesus loves to use. Look at scripture, right? There's a stutterer, Moses, right? There's a shepherd boy, David. Nobody was gonna pick David in the lineup. There's the runaway prophet, Jonah. He's trying to run away. There's a doubter, Thomas. There's the loudmouth fisherman. Yep, Peter. There's a persecutor turned church planner. God is not intimidated by who you think you are. He's committed to who he created you to be. So, he's not intimidated by who you think you are. So, here's the whole idea of this that we're going to lean into in this month, at the beginning of this year. Number five, God put spiritual gifts in you, and we are here to discover them and walk in them and move in them. 1 Corinthians 12 says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of Holy Spirit for the common good. So spiritual gifts aren't something that we invent. There's something that God has already placed inside of us, and our job is simply to discover and steward them. And so over the next few weeks, we're gonna walk through a shape process. Did I put a graphic here? Yeah. So this is what it looks like. This is the acronym that I've walked through with students over years and years. And so over the next 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts and wrapping the spiritual gifts that God's placed inside of you. The heart, monitoring who you are, the emotions, that part of you, that those feelings, your abilities, because God's put and shaped in you the abilities and that you have, and applying those abilities, your personality. Yay, introverts, power to the people. whoever God has created you to be in your personality, plugging into your personality and your experience. You've lived some life. You've walked through some hard things. God will use that. And so, but today's focus is you can't understand your gifts until you understand your identity. And gifts come from God, but ministry flows from knowing who you are in God. And so that's why we're starting here today. So here's the big questions. What if we believe that God knew exactly what he was doing when he designed us? That your design reveals part of your destiny. He's crafted you and shaped you on purpose, custom design, that the gifts that he put inside of you were meant for where you're walking right now. The kingdom doesn't grow through superstars, it grows through surrendered lives. I love Sunday mornings. I love you know, what we get to do here. But the church isn't about platform ministry. Mm-mm. It's not. The modern church will often celebrate platform gifts, but the Bible celebrates encouragers, servants, givers, intercessors, hospitality, compassion, leadership, mercy, all the craftsmanship, administration, apostolic pioneers, evangelists, teachers, discerners, right? So the kingdom grows through everyday people saying, Lord, use what you put in me. So listen to Jesus as he says this. He says, whoever wants to become prominent among you shall be your, we've talked about this already, right? So your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus doesn't measure greatness the way we do. In the kingdom, greatness doesn't come from being impressive. It comes from being surrendered. There was a leadership class that I took in college. I was in the school of family ministry. They called it the Advanced School of Family Ministry, just so you know. And the professor, he was actually the first camp speaker that I had ever hired as a youth pastor. I brought him. But the thing that stuck with me from him and his leadership in my life and his teaching in my life was that phrase. And he said, this is the greatest definition of leadership that you will ever find. And it comes right from the scripture. He said, it's anointed servanthood. That's leadership. Whoever wants to become prominent among you shall be your servant. So I just want to take the opportunity again to speak directly to Pastor Rayanne and to Pastor Kimberly. I get to call them Pastor now. I think that's pretty cool. I get to call my wife Pastor Kimberly. I probably won't do that all the time, just so you know, but just for fun every once in a while, right? But I want to speak to you just for a moment. You were installed as pastors this morning, and that's not something that I take lightly. It's not something the elders take lightly. And as I said earlier, I genuinely believe that what happens in kids' ministry room over there and down in the basement on Wednesday nights in the youth room is some of the most important and vital ministry in the church. And so, no pressure, right? No pressure at all. But I want to speak to you because I remember what it was like to step into a ministry role like this for the first time. And honestly, even, you know, for the second time, and when we relocated and I started at another location, I remember being a young youth pastor holding that title and feeling both honored and incredibly insecure at the same time. And I wondered often if I was enough. So first, let me say this clearly in front of everybody. You were installed today because, you know, we've prayerfully watched you. And we've listened and we've discerned and we've chosen you because of your giftings and your passion. We chose you. And before we chose you, God chose you. So if there's any voice that's inside of your head, and maybe this, there isn't, perhaps this is just my struggle, but if there's any voice that whispers that you're not gifted enough, I want you to hear this. You have an entire leadership team behind you and an entire church, I believe, pastors, elders in this church who believe that God is going to use you powerfully. And I mean powerfully. And I want to say, too, that God has already used you powerfully. You stepped into a gap that I, as the lead pastor, and had no idea how to fill, and I didn't know how we were going to do it. But you helped relaunch a ministry, and destiny is deeply missed for months. And when we didn't have it, and I've been down in that basement with you, and I've watched you, and I've seen the way you care for our students, and the way you love them, and the way that Jesus loves them, and the way that you just show up consistently. And I truly believe, I think it was Jim that said, this season will become one of the parts of your story that you will cherish maybe the most in your life. You're not stepping into this role because you're superstars. You're here because you're called, and you're here because you were chosen, and you're here because you were already surrendered. And that's exactly why God is going to use you in a big way. And so now walk forward knowing that when you don't feel like enough, and there's going to be moments when you don't feel like enough, and I can just say this to everybody in the room, you are an ambassador of the highest priest. You are ambassadors of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I was part of launching youth ministry at Destiny back in 2001, and God did some incredible, incredible things. There are so many, we're referring to it, I think Nick was referring to it, there's so many young people that are living for Jesus now who would point back to their days with Pastor Diani and then their time with Elevate Student Ministries as foundational for their faith. And I believe the legacy that God has set you up for is going to be so much fun, number one, and so much deeper than anything we've ever had at Destiny. Amen. Amen. So thank you. This is for all of us, for living surrendered lives. Here's a verse that I just want to leave you with for today. I can remember it being so meaningful to me. As a young believer, I was sitting at a music festival, Wilmer, Minnesota. Anybody remember Sunshine Music Festival? Yeah. I was sitting at a booth next to a comedian. I don't remember his name, but I remember we were sitting in the booth next to him. I was writing for a Christian magazine at the time, and I was a young person, and he gave me his poster. Signed his name on it, and he wrote this verse. He said, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work among you will complete it." Amen. And that small act, that little thing that he did, meant something to me, and I believed it. So maybe that's more for just Kimberly and Rayanne this morning, maybe that's speaking to you this morning, you needed to hear it as well. He who began a good work in you will complete it. Amen. So yes, you've given your life to him. Now let's take some steps into how he has shaped you and gifted you to live a John 10:10 life, a life to the full. Amen. It doesn't matter how old or how young, you can start leaning into that kind of life right now. So practical takeaways, I already put them on your notes. Just stop saying what God never said about your life, about you, about who you are. If God calls you a masterpiece, stop calling yourself anything less. And say yes to this discovery process and discovering who you are. Over this series, just commit to learning your shape. and start paying attention to the ways that God already uses you, the way he's already gifted you. Think about where you naturally thrive. And then ask Holy Spirit to begin really revealing your gifts. A simple prayer: Holy Spirit, just show me what you put in me. Expect God to stretch you, because gifts, there's a lot of stretching this morning. Gifts grow, though, when they're used. And that can be scary. But when you step out and say, whoa, God just used me, then you're like, oh, come on, let's go. Right? That's how it works. So now we get to your homework. It doesn't mean do it now, but I attached that handout this morning, a week one identity worksheet, and just a kind of a shape introduction that I want to send you off with. And I did it intentionally to send it home with you, because my hope is that as a church, we're leading into this 21 days of fasting, and we're going to have some time set aside, you know, to be with God and to lean in. And I would do this during that time that you've set aside, whether, you know, you're fasting food or anything else, or you're just leaning into the voice of God. I would encourage you just to pull this out sometime this week. We start tomorrow. I think Jim said it starts at midnight. That's the rules. I heard him say that last night, so I guess that's the way it is. But I want to send you off with this, and I'm going to give you some just really, I want to be super practical over this month to just kind of lean into this, to who God has created you, shaped you to be. So imagine what would happen when an entire church steps into the truth of Ephesians 2:10. You're God's masterpiece. He's shaped you. He's called you. He's gifted. Imagine what will happen if every believer in this city starts walking in the truth of who they are and the gifts that God's placed in them. Imagine what will happen when the kingdom grows, not because of a few people that are on a platform, but because of all of us. The masterpieces that God created. Okay, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. I just pray, Lord, that you, over the next few weeks, would awaken in us our identity, who you've shaped us and crafted us to be. God, I pray this morning specifically for those of us, I'm assuming maybe all of us, who have listened to or heard the language from the enemy of those who feel less than. Cue the epic music. You're shaping us into something more as we climb this mountain. But God, so many times it's easy for us to hear the lies that the enemy has planted, even from years ago, from one person pointing a finger at us or saying a few words to us, or one or two or three things where we've been wounded, where we have looked at somebody else and we said, but I don't have that. But you've shaped us, you've custom designed us, you've crafted us, you've chosen us, you've designed us as a masterpiece, the creator of creators, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, who knows us by name, who knows every hair on our head, who crafted us for purpose in our mother's womb before we're even out. Lord, our very personality, our very giftings, our experiences, it's all a part of who you're intentionally crafting us and shaping us to be for right here and right now in this moment. So God, I pray for healing from past wounds. And I pray, and I know that your light outshines darkness every single time. So I just pray that your light, your truth, would permeate inside of our spirits as we walk into this and lean into this month. of discovering who you've created us to be, and that we would walk in the fullness of all that you've called us to be, not the lies that the enemy has tried to plant inside of our spirit. God, we uproot them. By your name and by your power, we uproot them. We pull them out. We ask that you would shine your light in every dark place and you would reveal the truth of who you've called us to be. In every season, no matter how young or how old, that we would take a step further from our plans and we would start walking in your purpose and your plans because they are better. And so instead of just installing our pastors today, which was a holy moment and was very special to me, I just want to pray a prayer of commissioning for all of us in the room. Is that okay? I would just like to pray a prayer, and I believe this is biblical. Lord, awaken the gifts that you've placed in your people and consecrate our lives. Set apart our lives so that we are the living, moving church that walk outside of these doors, and we continue to be the church because you go with us. We're carriers of your light. We're carriers of your glory, shaped and crafted by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Can we just say amen to that this morning? Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Just before we go, with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're here this morning and I keep on using the language. It's just part of who I am. You know you need to lean back into who Jesus is in your life. And he's come to be a rescue for all of us, but he's came to be a rescue for you. And he shaped you and he crafted you and he knows you by name. And he's calling you this morning. Maybe it's for the first time. Maybe it's a resurrender, but I believe you already know and Holy Spirit's already been kind of nudging you. And if that's you this morning, I don't want to embarrass you. We're not going to call you out. We're not going to do anything. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just raise your hands? I want to pray a prayer of agreement. I'm with you and we're all going to pray together. Is there anybody here this morning? Thank you, Lord. All right, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can put it down. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's pray this together. Father God, I surrender all that I am for your purpose and your plans for my life. I'm just declaring this morning that your way is better. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for coming and giving your life, being dead, buried, and resurrected so that my life could be resurrected this morning. I'm going to follow you with all that I am. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.